Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Welcome to Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And this show is about being sexier, much, much sexier, and much, much happier in your life. And my guest is going to be talking to us about orgasmic energy as our key to health, wealth, and happiness, which I love that for sex and happiness. I want everything to be the key to your health, wealth, and happiness. And I want you to consider as we speak what areas of your life you might need healing in, areas that might be holding you back, because my guest is an expert in the areas that hold you back and what you might need to do about them. So let me introduce her. Her name is Jane Inman, and she specializes in helping women entrepreneurs heal the trauma of sexual abuse and the ways that pain is holding them back from success. I just want all your lights to go on when you hear this. Duh! Aha! She helps women work miracles in their lives with ceremony, custom blended flower essences, and sound and vibrational healing. Jane is the keeper of Sweet Beautiful Waters Peace Sound Chamber, which we'll find out what that is in a moment. For over 25 years, she's worked with flower essences and vibrational healing. Welcome to Sex and Happiness, Jane.
Thanks, Lori.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, and you sound very talented and equipped to deal with people's healing. So before we get into the actual topic of what needs to be healed in women to have them be successful, please tell us what ceremony is. Like, how would you define ceremony?
Well, that would tie in a little bit, I think, with an explanation of what a peace sound chamber is.
Yeah, okay, good, because that's a puzzling to me. What is that?
Right. So I've been studying with Joseph Royal, Beautiful Painted Arrow, for 10 to 12 years. And the Peace Sound Chamber is an actual building that there's actually probably about 60 of them all over the world. And they came into existence because of Joseph's vision and his guidance, where he was told to get these chambers built, and they are for chanting for peace. So people got inspired and people built peace chambers. I got inspired and my husband and I moved in 2010 from the East Coast outside of Philadelphia to here in Tucson because of my vision and inspiration to build a peace chamber. So we moved here and we bought a house and we built a peace chamber in 2012. So just last year. And that peace chamber is a beautiful structure that is specifically for ceremony and for chanting for peace. So I actually work with people in the chamber doing ceremonies like women's full day retreats around sexual abuse, for instance. So we might do a whole day retreat vision quest in the peace chamber.
How big is this chamber?
My chamber is 22 by 33 feet.
So, well, okay. You know what? I should have said I'm not very linear. So
it's pretty big, but it's
How many people could fit in there in a circle?
Sitting on the bench, you could probably put 30 or more people in it. But if you had people sitting on the floor, for instance, and on the bench, I bet you could put 50, 60 people in there.
Jane, I've been looking for you my whole Arizona life, but we'll talk about that later.
Great.
So so you made this big move.
Yeah.
From the East Coast to the Southwest.
Yes.
And was that because you felt to move to the Southwest, or was that because that's where this person you mentioned wanted a chamber in.
No, Joseph never really tells you where to. What he says is that the chamber calls you. So we moved to Tucson completely based on my guidance, my internal guidance of where we needed to go. Why didn't we do it in Pennsylvania? We didn't do it in Pennsylvania because there already is a peace chamber there and a pretty big community. So I did not feel that Pennsylvania was the place for us to build one. I had only been to Tucson once in 2009, I think it was. And so that's where I felt really guided to move. And we did. And my husband came with me and we rented a house for a year. And then we bought the house that we're in and built the chamber 6 months later.
Beautiful. Okay, yeah. Great. That's an example of really divine guidance.
Totally.
Or inner guidance.
Yeah.
Following your inner guidance.
Following intuition, big time. Beautiful, because the whole thing unfolded as things, in at least in my life, when I'm really listening to my divine guidance, the doors open. It's not to say that it's completely easy, because it's not easy to pack your whole life up and move from one end of the country to the other. But it was effortless in some ways. So places to rent, you know, the moving, all of those things unfolded really beautifully. So
nice.
To me, that's an indication that you're on the right track.
Well, congratulations too.
Thanks.
So
thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. So we defined what the sweet, beautiful waters, peace sound chamber is, and we kind of defined ceremony, but we didn't really.
So ceremony for me is really based around the way I learned ceremony from my teacher, Joseph Rael, who is a Picaris Pueblo Ute visionary and teacher. So I do sweat lodge ceremonies here. We do a fire ceremony once a month in the peace chamber, and that ceremony is specifically to honor the waters of the world. Custom ceremonies like the women's retreat, for instance, where we do a very specific mudding ceremony with the women, which is really exactly what it sounds like. We're naked and we get covered in the mud. And then we go into a sweat lodge afterwards. But that's in conjunction with an all-day ceremony.
So a ceremony is something like in Tantra, I call ceremony ritual.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I do rituals.
I think it's another word for ritual.
Okay, great. So thank you so much for defining that for me and for us. So let's see if there was something else. Oh, yeah. Not everybody knows what flower essences are.
Right.
And this is all really important to what we're talking about. So could you give us a brief description of flower essences?
I can.
Like, you make them custom.
I can. So a flower, most people know what homeopathics are. Do you know what homeopathic medicine is?
I do, but that doesn't mean
that. Okay, that doesn't mean that everybody listening does.
I also know what flower essences are. I've been using them forever, but
okay,
not everybody knows what they are.
Okay, so flower essences are vibrational medicine that is made by infusing a flower into pure water and allowing the sun to infuse the vibration or signature of the flower into the water. It is then preserved and used as a mother tincture. Each flower has its own particular signature, which by that I mean it has its own healing signature. So, for instance, sunflower is an essence that works with the male energy. So if there's conflicts in the past with father issues or something like that, sunflower might be an essence that you would use. And when I say custom flower essence, what I mean is I will work with someone one-on-one to determine what their issues are. And then I use the Bach flower remedies. And I also, Dr. Edward Bach was the original father of flower essences. He's in the 1930s, the one who who figured out the first 38 flower essences. I also use essences from California. So I have probably a couple hundred different essences to choose from. And when I work with somebody one-on-one, we do a pretty in-depth intake and have a pretty in-depth conversation about what their issues are. And then, much like a piece of music, I choose anywhere from 3 to 5 essences that are then put together in a bottle as a custom blend. And like a piece of music, each of those essences contributes to the overall whole. And flower essences work with emotional and spiritual issues.
All right, that's great. That's good to say. I mean, that's a very nice description of how they work. So now that we have all these things defined, we can talk more with people understanding about how you work to help heal the trauma of sexual abuse and pain that holds people back from success, because it sounds like you do some ceremonies and it sounds like you prescribe flower essences and you might even make music and you do sweat lodges. I mean, all the things that you said sounds like, oh, okay, now we know your tools in your toolbox.
Right.
So thank you for that. So how did you get interested in using these? You know, if you're doing chanting for peace, that sounds like one mission that you're on. How did you get into discovering sexual trauma and abuse and getting that, seeing that that was holding people back from success?
Well, I got into it because that's basically my history, and I have experienced firsthand how that sexual abuse can really create a lot of problems in your life. And over the years, I have, through my own healing process, discovered the ways that are really helpful to transform the pain of sex abuse and create a vibrant sense of health and well-being and the ability to kind of move forward in my life and in the lives of others using things like ceremony and flower essences, sound and vibration, and other ceremonies.
So it really comes from your own personal history.
It does.
And your own
personal
experience. The passion.
I know
passion you're talking about. Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a little break here for the moment. When we come back, I want to ask you about some of these procedures, some of this, how this connects to orgasmic energy, and how this can help women entrepreneurs in particular.
Okay.
Because women are empowering themselves these days more and more by becoming entrepreneurial. So I want to let them know why they should get in touch with you.
Thanks.
If this is the case. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing Jane Inman. And Jane has a very special blend of her own. She talked about blending flower essences, and also she has blended together a spiritual aspect that comes from Native American, flower essences, and vibrational healing to help women really work miracles in their lives and change the direction from things that hold them back to success. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience.
Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and today I'm interviewing Jane Inman, and she is telling me about the kinds of ceremonies that she does and the things she uses. And my question really is, Jane, why is this so connected to orgasmic energy? I mean, when I introduced you, that's what I talked about, the keys of health, wealth, and happiness. And how do you, this all this stuff get put together?
Okay, that's a good question. So orgasmic energy, to me, is life force or creative energy. It's essentially the Big Bang energy. It's really where all of creation comes from. This is the way I feel about it. When you have a free flowing experience of your orgasmic energy, essentially we buzz with it. It's the energy that creates everything. And it's also the energy that creates that connection with Creator, with Spirit. Because if you think about when you, for instance, are experiencing orgasm, it's that divine moment of connection. And everything else in our, you know, in that moment becomes unimportant because we are connected to divine. So when you have sex abuse at a very young age, the normal and natural flow of orgasmic energy is interrupted in a really pretty severe way. When that energy is interrupted and twisted by sex abuse, let's just say, then you have things like disassociation. And disassociation, if the abuse was very, very severe, even if it wasn't very severe, you still have disassociation. And that creates problems throughout your life, because if you are disassociated from your own body, from your own experience, it's very hard to go out and create, for instance, your own business and be an entrepreneur, because you're not really in touch with what is going on in your own being. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I just want to say a little something here about dissociation, because I don't know if everybody understands that, so I'll speak to it and say that dissociation is, it's kind of a coping mechanism. It's if something that traumatic is happening in our life at a very young age, in order to survive it, the natural defense mechanisms of the body turn us off from what we're feeling. And so what ends up happening is that we have an experience, it gets stored in the memory, and it gets stored as a trauma, and then we may or may not remember it, and even if we do remember it, we may not allow ourselves to feel anything about it because it happens at an age when we are powerless to do anything about. So that's what dissociation is, and I really follow you that when one dissociates, it's very difficult to come back in, to re-inhabit. There's always like a part that's out, kind of in the ether. It's like a part that observes and another part that feels but doesn't feel fully. There's like a disconnect from the feelings of the body, the regular emotions that say, oh, this is good, this is bad, I should run, I should stay, I should fight here, I should feel this. It's very difficult to identify all those things, correct?
Yeah, that's a beautiful explanation of it. Really beautiful.
And I work with it a lot myself, so I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying, and also I work with it with people
right
all the time. You know, right. I said, come back in.
Exactly. So when you think about it that way, and you are trying to create your own business, be an entrepreneur, maybe, and you have great skills and talents that you want to get out into the world. But if you have that disassociation and that sex abuse in your background, it makes it very, very hard to connect with what's really going on or to connect with maybe what your next steps are, because you might have a lot of fear around moving forward. You might have a lot of fear around being seen, number one, and taking up space in the world, because that was not your experience when you were very, very young. So these things are really, really traumatic. And the way flower essences and ceremony change that dynamic, well, flower essences are pretty amazing, really, because they can and do sometimes stir things up, if you will. But at the same time, there is this beautiful platform upon which you can stand. So things are being churned up a little bit. Maybe your awareness, some of that, those missing pieces of yourself are being called back in a certain way. And that can be scary, but at the same time, there's the beauty of the flower essence that is the foundation upon which you're standing. So it's an opportunity for some really gorgeous healing to happen. And when you combine it with the ceremony, because ceremonies, the way I've been taught, are very physical. So there's that physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual component to doing ceremony, like a sweat lodge, for instance. It's very physical. And we have these traumas lodged in our bodies, and we need some way to access the trauma that's lodged in there. So dancing, for instance, in a ceremonial dance, a vision quest dance, or doing a vision quest, for instance, in the peace chamber overnight or for two nights, is also a beautiful way to take yourself out of your everyday reality and give yourself the opportunity to fully be present and experience what you need to experience and shift it.
Excellent way to put it. It's great. Now, one other thing. Can you just really briefly describe a sweat lodge? Because somebody might be listening in Sweden.
Yeah.
And they don't have any idea what a sweat lodge is.
Well,
or maybe in Sweden they do.
Right. And it's interesting because most indigenous cultures have something like a sweat lodge. It's not just American, Native American. Sweat lodge ceremonies are done all over the world. But basically, it is a purification ceremony. And there's a structure that very much looks like an igloo, if you will. It's a small kind of, well, mine's not small, actually. Mine's pretty big. But it's a low-to-the-ground structure that is normally made out of willows or saplings. Now, here in Arizona, we don't have the abundance of saplings, so I had to use other materials to make mine. But it's a round structure that's low to the ground, because the metaphor is that we're going back into the mother, into the womb, as we crawl into the sweat lodge. There's a pit in the center, and there is a fire pit outside of the lodge, and rocks are heated in a fire outside of the lodge. When the rocks are ready, they are brought into the lodge in four rounds, in the east, the south, the west, and the north. And as the rocks are brought in, we put herbs on them and we close the door. We put water on the rocks, and it gets pretty hot in there, but the steam creates the sweat, which is also part of our prayer. So it's a very physical way to pray, and it's a purification ceremony. But when we come out, we crawl back out of the sweat lodge when we're done, reborn in a way as newborns, new people. So we go in, we put our issues in the lodge in whatever direction we want to pray, and we release them into the fire, into the rocks, and into the steam, and we let them go. And then when we come out of the lodge, we can come out as new people, reborn.
Beautiful. I haven't been in one in so long that it now, even though you're in Tucson and I'm in Phoenix, I'm going, I should go to one. I haven't been in one in a very, very, very long time. So thank you for that explanation. I just got really turned on.
Yay, good.
Okay, so we have a few moments left, and I want to tie this all together as to how this orgasmic energy, this ceremony, these essences, all the work that you're doing connect to helping women really become successful in their lives. Like you talked about releasing trauma. We talked about getting embodied again and being focused. And so maybe you could give either your own example for yourself or examples of some women that you've worked with who have become more productive and more successful as entrepreneurs because they've experienced these keys, I don't know, this magic, we'll call it, plus orgasm.
Yeah, right. So the connection is, let's see, orgasmic energy when it is twisted up, or I don't know what's a good way to put it, when it's
locked.
When it's blocked and not flowing easily or well, is going to affect every area of your life. So when you place yourself in a situation and it, through ceremony, through flower essences, through sound, these things bypass the thinking brain, okay? Because the thinking brain, you can even know what is wrong sometimes and be unable to create a transformation for yourself. So taking it into the realm of using vibrational energy, vibrational medicine, sound healing, and ceremony takes it beyond the thinking mind and creates breakthroughs, because it releases that trauma from the body. And it Great. Then allows the orgasmic energy to flow more freely so that you can be aware of what your true desires are.
And you can use all that energy for creation.
Exactly.
Which is where
there's
you started.
Yes, you're totally right. All that energy is not available to us. when we are not flowing it properly.
It's beautiful, Jane. How can people get in touch with you and participate in these ceremonies? Maybe they want to come to Tucson. Maybe there's a way that you work with them long distance. How does all that happen?
Yeah, those are both possibilities, long distance and coming here. I am going to be doing retreats, 3-day retreats, which are going to be vision quests in partially part of the time in the Peace Chamber for women. So that's going to be coming up in October. I can be reached at sweetwaterhealingarts.com. That's my website. I also can be reached at Sweetwater Healing Arts on Facebook, or you can email me at peoplegardener, G-A-R-D-E-N-E-R, at gmail.com.
Well, Jane Inman, thank you so much. This has been an exciting topic. It's really, it's very organic, and that excites me. So I really want to thank you so much for taking the time today to come on the show.
And I want to thank you, Lori, for having me on.
It's wonderful.
Thanks.
Please stay tuned, everyone, as I welcome my next guest who will talk about sacred sexuality and its history. It's really a mystery, but it definitely has history. So we'll be right back.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic
the
course.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That's pretty
good. That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex miracle.
That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic, I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
The next sex magic course is November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on Workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back, everyone, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. Of course, I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and in this segment of the show, I want to talk about sacred sexuality and how it's been shifted, how it differs from perhaps when it first started. And there's lots of arguments with people or different findings and different positions that people have about where sacred sexuality first started. And my guest today is going to shed some light on that. So I'd like to introduce Aurora Ray. She's a goddess of... She is a goddess culture educator. She's a womb coach, a workshop facilitator who travels with her red tent to teach the moon blood mysteries, spiritual sexual education, shadow work, circle work, expressive art, dance, and yoga movement.
And Aurora's been on the show before, and we covered a lot of those subjects before. We did cover womb, what womb coaching is. We covered what it is to be in a red tent, what the moon blood mysteries are. We spoke about a lot of those things. So today, pretty much, we're going to talk about how sacred sexuality has shifted and changed. And if any of those subjects that we previously talked about come up, then we'll go into it. We'll define them however they need to be. But I really want to do focus on how sacred sexuality came to being. So, Aurora, welcome back to Sex and Happiness.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on again. I'm really excited to talk about this today.
Good, good. Well, let's just get started. First of all, let's give a definition of sacred sexuality.
That's actually a hard definition, sacred sexuality. We could say, what is spiritual sexuality? And I might be able to give a more clear definition, but I like challenging myself to say, what is sacred sexuality? And that's sexuality that is not only honored, that there is a conscious awareness to how and why and every element of the sex is taken into consideration as a sacred act, as a act of honoring for each other.
And when you say honoring, you mean really honoring body, mind, and spirit,
right?
Like the whole thing, not just, oh, I can't wait to get in your pants.
Right. And sacred sexuality might include spiritual sexuality, which is then where we recognize that through the sexual act, we have the ability to contact God or to contract a space beyond the human realm. It is a space of bliss and oneness. And it's also, spiritual sexuality is an understanding that your sexual energy currents is a potent energy stream that can be used for more life force, for creativity, for release, for connection, for heart opening.
I like to think of it as connecting to the divine.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't feel there's a god or goddess. And some people don't know about that kind of sacred space, but people can actually relate with the divine in themselves and with what gets created between others. Like two or more people can create the divine with each other, bring out more than ever was seen before or expected or even anticipated.
Right.
So,
yeah, and as soon as I said the word God, I was like, oh, maybe I should use a different term. But that's what I meant. I meant connecting to the divine space. And when it comes to sacred sex, you know, there's a huge spectrum to what sacred sex is, and it can just be conscious connection. It can just be I don't want to use the word honoring again, but an awareness to your sexual practice, a healing component.
Excellent. And it's possible to have it even eye-gazing with someone.
Right.
Like all of a sudden meeting someone and not being able to take your eyes away from their eyes, and all of a sudden that's like a communion that wasn't expected or anticipated, but there it is. And that even has the total aspects of sacred sexuality without even any touch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what you said, it has a whole spectrum. Where do you think that it started? Where do you think that sacred sexuality or spiritual sexuality started?
I honestly believe that in the Paleolithic days, in the ancient days, people recognized that there was magic in sex. You know, they recognized that there was this amazing thing that was called orgasm, and they recognized that the woman's womb was able to conceive a child through this lovemaking act, and they began to notice rhythms and cycles. And what I mean by that is, I know in the ancient days, they would honor the menstrual blood, and they would honor the womb, and they would honor the womb's ability to create life. And so they connected sex with fertility cycles and with cycles of the moon. They would really connect to just the rhythms and the sacredness of the sexuality, of the fact that it has the ability to create life. And so way in beginning times, we can say that these beings, they would honor the sexual act for its magical potential to create life. And just, again, a lot of these people sometimes were honorers of Gaia, honor of the elements. A lot of the gods and goddesses at that time were just the elements and the elementals, as far ancient days. And it was like, when we make love, there was much more honoring to the fact that, like, we come together and we create a baby, and then we raise that child, and there was a lot of honoring just to the fact that that can happen.
It's interesting that you say all that. I kind of saw it a little differently. When I think about the fertility rites, like, what do I want to say? Oh, for the crops, like, or Beltane, the Beltane festival, I had it that the women knew that they could get pregnant, but the men didn't know, and the men had sex as fertility rite with the women, but then they wouldn't exactly know. I mean, this is just my imagery. They wouldn't exactly know who impregnated who, like whose child that was in 9 months, because they had gone around and had mixing of fluids with almost each woman, or maybe every woman in the festival. So when the baby came 9 months later, the men didn't even notice or even care which one was theirs. That's just my imagery of
it. That's interesting. You know, I mean, we can talk about sexual consciousness and sex magic and connection throughout the ages and all the different cultures. And so what I was describing, I'm thinking like caveman, cavewoman. You know, this is like way at the beginning. And I do believe, though, that we've always had an awareness and a consciousness of who we're making love to when we're really connected to our own body and rhythms and attraction cycle. But there's definitely been cultures and traditions, especially those associated to paganism, that have had it like a free sex, you know, free love sort of ritual and rites, and that there's no right and wrong in it. But it's interesting to say that, you know, let's say we started out with making love and just honoring the fact that it can create a baby and honoring the fact that this magic thing called orgasm happens. And then later on becoming more aware and more conscious of these energy streams and recognizing alchemical reactions that might happen when the cum mixes with the woman's womb mixes with the sperm, and then, you know, being able to cycle the energy that we do in some of the practices we know today. And then, of course, you know, in pagan streams, again, there was a lot more community love. And I know that there's druid sex magic in which they would use this energy of orgasm in order to create and do ritual and do magical practices. And they tended to do things actually in a group environment. Like, they had a lot of like group sex rituals, sex magic in the druid tradition. So that's interesting to see it shift through the ages. And I want to note that today, when someone wakes up to saying like, I'm really interested in sacred sexuality, the only option most people know of is Tantra. Or they might get into Taoist, but it's really interesting to start branching out from there. You know, when we start exploring, like, ooh, what about ancient Egyptian sexual practices?
Well, hold on a second. We're going to take a short break there, but when we come back, I actually want to go into that ancient Egyptian to India and China, like talking about those differences as well. But I think we covered pretty well what was going on. I mean, I've been with the Druids to Stonehenge on occasion. You can't get into Stonehenge anymore except with Druids. You have to be a guest of the Druids. And I found myself there going, I wonder what they really used these stone circles for. You know, it's interesting that you brought them up. Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. Today my guest is Aurora Ray. She's been on the show before talking about womb coaching and sex and creativity, sexual energy and creativity. And today we're talking about sacred sexuality and its roots and how it's changed and moved from different cultures and different groupings. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some other ones, especially ancient Egypt. So please stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, and I'm speaking with Aurora Reid today. And we just talked about the awareness of sexuality, the awareness of connection, the awareness of the magic of making a baby, or when two people come together and they're actually mixing their energies together in Paleolithic times. And we brought in some other things, the Druids and pagan cultures. And then Aurora mentioned ancient Egypt, which my ears perked up to. So I want to talk a little bit about that. There's not much written about it, I've noticed, but let's find out some of the things that you notice that are stand out for you or that people should know about.
Sure. So ancient Egypt. So we also have found and believe that ancient Egypt was a very advanced culture and civilization. And their wisdom actually around sexuality was recognizing that the complexity of making love in accordance to cycles as well. They were, well, one, really interested in a woman's womb wisdom. The fact that a woman's womb is connected to the cycles and rhythms of the moon and the astrology. And with this strong understanding that we are all connected, the woman who embodies Shakti, that creative life force, like when she is making love with a man, she is the guide. And her womb, her intuitive womb wisdom, is the guide. And what's interesting is that is mirrored in tantra practices as well, that Shakti will bring in her divine wisdom and be able to guide spirit and that sexual energy and that force to dissolve into that oneness. But ancient Egypt, they focused a lot on alchemical reactions in the womb. They focused on the ability for sexual energy to do more than create more life force, but to do various things, like depending on what the intention was. And one of the most notable characteristics is that the man would often come inside the woman, because it is with the alchemical reaction of the cum and the woman's womb that the woman is then able to open her heart in that orgasm space, and it opens the man's heart, and we create a full circuit. It's a reaction that happens. And so that's a huge difference between what happened as it progressed into India and China, and we moved into more patriarchal models as well, and learning how to use the energy streams to create more life force, but we weren't doing the full circuit of coming inside the womb. And we can also recognize that cultures changed and shifted. And whereas at one time, when a man came inside a woman and she got pregnant, the community would raise a child. And later on, you know, there became more control over the full circuit, you know, reproduction, in terms of reproduction.
When you say more control, you mean that, I'm not sure what you mean by there became more control.
Like the
more
men
control.
Were more of, they were more focusing on cycling their ejaculate. If they wanted to come inside a woman to reproduce, that was, it's not like there's more consciousness to it, but there was more concern in a space of population control. And, you know, I believe in ancient Egypt, depending, because, I mean, what is ancient Egypt? It's a long span of time. But I can say it at one point in time, when the men were coming inside the woman, she would use a concoction or an herb to be her birth control or abortion method in order to flush out her system if she did not want to conceive or have that child.
Yeah, so that's one of the first places where they even thought about that, where they even thought, like, wait, we could prevent pregnancy if we want to. It's a very advanced culture in that regard. They use potions for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So also, I have two books, two what's called Egyptian Tantra books,
And they differ tremendously from ones that predate Hindu, that are Indian in nature, just even in terms of the energies. Like, I was very surprised to see that we usually, even now, think of the earth mother, like the earth as being the feminine aspect and the sky as being the masculine aspect. But in Egyptian, the mother was the sky, was the heavens, and the male was earth. It's just interesting how it got juxtaposed differently. And I have no idea why that is. I just noticed it. I noticed it in books. Do you have anything to add to that, or do you know anything
about that? Not exactly about that particularly, but also in Egypt, they called the life force, that rising of sexual energy, called Sekhem. Sekhem was that juicy sexual flow that we associate with Shakti as well, that they were able to do various, you can call it sex magic, it's ways to invigorate the body. And Sekhem is also associated to the ancient goddess Sekhmet, the Egyptian goddess Sekhmet. Mm. And Sekhmet was a counterpart to another goddess named Hathor. And Sekhmet focused a lot on, she was a warrior goddess. She's the lion, she's a woman's body and a lion's head. But she is also known for her work with the sex magic practices, as well as the menstrual blood mysteries, which is something else that I work with. And while Hathor was also working with sexual energy, Sekhmet would focus on death energy and Hathor more birth energy. And when you come into Egyptian sexual alchemy and sexual connection work, there is a strong connection between understanding that sexual energy is connected to birth energy and is connected to death energy. And there is a very strong path of just like not only understanding how sexual energy moves through the body in terms of energetics, but also its association to various important phases of life. And I say orgasm. Orgasm is that space in which you're able to go into a divine realm. Well, birth is also a portal to a divine realm. Death is a portal to a divine realm. Sex is a portal to a divine realm. And so the sex magic of Egyptian time would take into account a large spectrum of cycles and rhythms.
Well, now when we talk about sex magic, we really haven't given that any definition. Mm-hmm. The way I define it is using my sexual energy towards another end, not just pleasure in itself, but pleasure that has a goal attached to it, or something that I like, using creation outside of the norm of creating a child, but creating something.
Yeah, you know what? People have different authors and different speakers and teachers have different views of what sex magic is. In the book by Tom Kenyon called Mary Magdalene's, Sex Magic of Horus, and oh my gosh, I have to get it, Sex Magic of Isis and Alchemies of Horus. It's an amazing book, and I can't believe I'm mixing up the name because I tell people about this book all the time, but it talks about the ancient sexual practices of Egypt. And his view of sex magic is the energy that we can use, the sexual energy that we can use to heal ourselves. He wasn't really focusing on sex magic being a space in which we can create something outside of ourselves. Like, we can create, I'm making love and an orgasm, I'm putting an intention to get a new car. You know, that's not what he was focusing on. But actually the ability to give yourself more life force. And that book in general focuses on Mary Magdalene and her relationship with Jesus Christ. He channels it. So he believes that he brought in Mary Magdalene's energy to tell her story. And they talk about the sexual magic practices that they did in order for Jesus to be able to resurrect himself.
Mm. Yeah, that was very popular also. When I first started studying Tantra, I heard a lot about that, which fascinated me. I actually want to say two things to you. It's funny, you brought them up like almost one after the other. One is that healing the body with it. I did a show on sexual healing where a woman, Betty Louise, who people can look her up on Facebook or on the internet, has rheumatoid arthritis. And she was listening to Marvin Gaye's song, Sexual Healing, one day and got the idea that she could reduce her pain. She bet herself that she could reduce her pain if she had more sex. So she wasn't in a relationship at the time, and she called an ex-lover and asked him if he would come over and have sex with her, like really vigorous, intense, orgasmic, to the ceiling type of sex. No strings attached. She wanted to do an experiment with herself, and he said yes. And so he did that, and she did that, and her pain went from a 10 threshold to like a 2. So that's one example I just wanted to say, because when you were talking about this man who said that to use sexual energy as your own self-healing. The other is that I just posted on Facebook a day ago something about a new study that said that couples that make love more often and or have sex more often make more money. I'm bringing those both in because I want people to know, like, it runs the gamut.
It does. People absolutely will put sexual energy and finances together, and creativity, all of it, even though finances technically maybe isn't second chakra, I'm not really sure, but it's like this motor. Like when that creative life force is moving through you, everything's flowing.
Mm-hmm. It's great. This is a good place to stop the conversation, because I think we gave people a lot of food for thought. And I want to give you a chance to say the name of that book again.
Oh.
Because I know you got frustrated there. Do you know what the name of it is?
If you give me 2 seconds, I can find it.
Ahead.
Hold on. Okay. It's called The Magdalene Manuscript.
Okay.
Alchemies of Horus and the Sex Magic of Isis.
Excellent. Thank you. So, Aurora Ray, I want to thank you so much for being my guest again on the show. How is it that people can get in touch with you in case they want to get in touch with you and look into your work on creativity, on as a womb coach, as a workshop facilitator? What's the best way to find you?
Right now, really, Facebook is the best way. And
okay.
If someone's on Facebook, then it's search Aurora Ray, R-A-E. And I have an email, which is called thegoddessparadigm@gmail.com.
Okay, so let's just spell the whole thing. So some people won't know how to spell Aurora. So it's A-U-R-O-R-A,
mm-hmm.
Ray, R-A-E. And then The Goddess Paradigm. I know you know how to spell The Goddess, everyone, but Paradigm, P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M,
mm-hmm.
is the way to spell that. So I really want people to find you, should they want to find you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So thanks for being my guest again today. Thank you for explaining to us some of the history of sacred sexuality. And everybody, tune in next time when I'll be talking about
the wall of vaginas. That's right, the wall of vaginas. This is Laurie Handlers from ButterflyWorkshops.com signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to ButterflyWorkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-